Welcome to the conference Decentering Narratives, International Solidarity and Liberation Movements at the Fringes of the Art Historical Canon. I'm very happy to be with Rasha Salty and Christina Curry today in this conference that is part of Canon Fragen, the Questioning the Canon long-term project at Hakave that the Department of Visual Arts and Film had been developing since 2016. And I would like to start framing the gathering that unites us today with the reflection that political art historian has been defying, challenging the Eurocentric and formalist narrative since the time of their hegemonical inscription. It's not new that we are analyzing in a critical way the canonical art histories. For example, as Meyer Shapiro in the mid of the 30s was criticizing Alfred Barr's March Toward Abstraction because it was a narrative that was formalistic and unhistorical. But still, today, is much more work to be done. Therefore, I'm very happy to introduce the conference of today that is developed on the occasion of the book, Past Disquiet, Artists, International Solidarity, and Museums in Exile, edited by Rasha Salty and Christina Curry today. They are curators, researchers, and also they self-name as detectives. They were the curators of the exhibition of the same name, Past Disquiet, in 2016, that opened at Hakave, and that opened the Canon Fragen series of projects. I think, and we have been sharing in the last days with Rasha and Christine, that today's solidarity struggles had reappeared. And in this context of today's urgency, claiming social equality, it's much more important to historize these movements and what can we do from the cultural and museological practices. In the practice of Rasha Salty and Christina Curry, I would like also to highlight that their take in this critical approach on the art historiographies is a way to go beyond Eurocentrism and formalism via connecting networks beyond nations and beyond centers. Therefore, many of the authors of the book are with us today, and they will share with us their models, practices, how they somehow transform these Eurocentric narratives in their own localities and from their own practices. I'm very happy to introduce you to Catherine Dossan. She's a French art historian. She came specially from Canada. We learned... America. Yeah. It's not Canada? Okay.
India.
So Catherine Dossan that came from North America to be with us today. It had been crucial for us to learn via Russia how Catherine Dossan had been developing a model, a conceptual approach from geopolitics. So we will see how she's decentering narratives from an art historiography that considers not only the local context, but all the transnational geopolitical networks. We will continue with Anselm Franke, head of the Department of the Visual Arts and Film in Hakave, and it's one of the rare occasions that he will in-depth unfold his model of speculative narratives, conversely to the heritage of canonic and historical museums that deal much more with positivistic displays. He will lead us to the speculative narratives and essay exhibitions. We will have then a 30-minute roundtable moderated by Rasha, so we encourage you to prepare questions, comments, and to join us in this discussion. We will continue, and I'm very excited to hear the talk by André Odenthal. He's coming from South Africa. He's an art historian, and he has been commissioned by Nelson Mandela to transform the prison into a museum, as well as a cultural art center that is hosting all the legacy of activism and the struggles against apartheid. For us, it's fundamental to know how had been this alternative museologies taking place in South Africa. And we will close with the amazing panel by Christina Curry and Paula Barreiro Lopez, art historians and detectives, on cultural guerrillas. This is a model that comes from Nicaraguan revolutionaries that were improvising with very economic means in order to defeat the soldiers, the militars from United States when they attempt to occupy Nicaragua, that had been somehow traversed and translated into cultural practice that with economic means, but creative force and taking in consideration the context, can build their own museums, their own exhibitions. We will see with Cristina Curry, the Museum of Solidarity for the People in Nicaragua, especially the exhibitions in Paris and in Managua. We will conclude with a round table with this last speaker. So I also encourage you to develop your thoughts and share with us your points and contribution and questions. So please help me to welcome the editors of the book, the curators of the exhibition, and the detectives, Rasha Salty and Cristina Curry.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming on a rainy day to the Jacobé for this day of talks. First, I want to thank everyone at the team here for their support in organizing the conference today, in particular Ansem, Paz, Anke, Agnes, Lisa, Dunya, and everyone on the tech team and filming. Thank you for all of your work, and of course to the speakers who have traveled from far away places such as Indiana and South Africa. I'll start with the introduction to Past Disquiet, the project, which is a research project that began over a decade ago, undertaken by Rasha and myself. It began with the catalog of this exhibition called the International Art Exhibition for Palestine, which took place in Beirut in 1978 and mobilized international networks of artists around the anti-imperialist and anti-colonial movements of the time. This exhibition was organized by the Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO, and exhibited 200 works from artists from 30 countries. All those artists donated those artworks to be the start of a future collection for a collection for a future solidarity museum for Palestine, which at the time would exist as a museum in exile or a roaming museum. The investigation of the history of this exhibition ultimately led to untold stories of other museums in exile, solidarity collections built in support of political causes, which were contemporary to the exhibition in Beirut, such as the International Museum of Resistance for Salvador Allende, the Art Against Apartheid Collection, and the Art for the People of Nicaragua exhibition. Reconstructing the stories of these four exhibitions and museums traced complex and intersecting networks of politically engaged artists mobilized around struggles against the ongoing war in Vietnam, the Pinochet dictatorship in Chile, the Sandinista revolution in Nicaragua, and the apartheid regime in South Africa. Starting with Palestine and ending up expanding to the rest of the world, Past Disquiet displayed this research primarily through a documentary and archival exhibition, as well as a publication. So I'll first share today some images from the exhibitions that we've done, along with the table of contents of the publication. So this exhibition, entitled Past Disquiet, with different subtitles, at times was Narratives and Ghosts from the International Art Exhibition for Palestine. We'll talk about ghosts later. Started in Barcelona in 2015 at the MACBA. Putting together this research as an exhibition forced us to set a limit with research, which we kept pushing every single time. And we had to figure out ways to tell stories using video material, interviews, facsimiles of documents, and photographs, which we gathered from people's homes, from their private archives, and from institutional archives. And we very much owe this, the possibility of this project, to the generosity of people who shared with us their stories and their time. So from the years of 2015 to 18, we've done four versions of Past Disquiet, each one developed and adapted to the location. For the context in which it was showed, and every time we had the opportunity to add new research and re-edit videos to tell additional stories. So the first exhibition was in Barcelona at the MACBA in 2015 in the context of decolonizing museums, and the interest in engaging with the Arab world sort of allowed the opportunity to sort of, again, engage with Palestine, but look at the rest of the world through the practice of museographic practices. There we ended up having one part of the exhibition focused on one figure, Izzeddine Kalak, who Rashim will mention later, who was a ghost who sort of followed us throughout the project. So this was something that sort of was special in that iteration of that exhibition. Here are some images. You can see it was very dense with three languages. The exhibition was in three languages. And then a year later, here at the Hakave, in the context of the Canon Fragen project, we were able to do additional research on sort of the chapter of Germany, which we did not have an opportunity to do before. And we worked there. We were very lucky to work with Bas Guevara in looking into the story of Chile, solidarity for Chile in Germany. There were films that were found and scanned, murals and practices that have been otherwise hidden, which were able to emerge within this process. We also had the opportunity to connect with artists who had traveled to Lebanon through artists exchange between the GDR Artist Union and the Palestinian Artist Union in the late 1970s. And because of the interest in thinking about the art historical canon, we sort of played a bit in trying to map exhibitions and sites of interest to us suddenly these centers were decentered very quickly. So here you can sort of see in that map. And a practice that we would do, or that we did for this iteration of the exhibition, was really trying to see where these artists appeared in sort of canonical art historical encyclopedias. And so trying to see who appeared, who did not appear, it really sort of forced us to think about who gets written into the history or traditional art history, often Western art history, and who gets written out. And then we were very lucky, the last two versions of the exhibition took place. The first was in Chile last year at the Museo de la Solidaridad Salvador Allende. So in fact, one of the museums, or the only existing museum that was part of our research. So we were able to sort of return the sort of history of the effects of this initiative back to Chile. We were lucky to be able to add new research that had been done in those 2 years since the previous show, research on Japan, Poland, Chile, and Nicaragua. And this sort of continued a really special collaboration with the museo, with their archive, with the team there in doing research in Nicaragua. And this was a very special possibility that they were interested in sort of thinking about their own history as a museum in exile and sort of understanding its connections to other initiatives. And the last version of the show, which we did in the summer of last year, 2018, was in Beirut, also returning histories back to Lebanon at the Sursut Museum in Beirut. It was the largest version of the show. We had a great space to work with, and also we're able to finally translate the show fully into Arabic, and also think about what was stories that need to be highlighted within the context of Lebanon, but also understanding that or presenting that this story was not just about Palestine or Lebanon, but it was just the starting point of this initiative. And again, films appeared from people's closets, which we were very lucky to be able to scan and share. And this is how the ghosts reappeared throughout the project. So I'll end with the other form in which our project has taken shape, which is this book, which Bas mentioned, Past Disquiet, Artists, International Solidarity, Museums in Exile. It was impossible to imagine that the exhibitions that we had done would have a catalog, a traditional catalog in any way. So to sort of reproduce those documents in a catalog didn't make sense. So we sort of followed the logic of research and thought about the book in the same way. So it doesn't have a link to the exhibition or our exhibition itself. And we, Rush and myself, edited this publication, which we were very lucky to work with the Museum of Modern Art in Warsaw on this project. and we were able to bring together a number of contributors, scholars, curators, and writers to reflect on these marginalized histories and undertakings which took place in Baghdad, Beirut, Belgrade, Damascus, Paris, Rabat, Tokyo, and Warsaw. So we were very much committed to sort of making space for this transnational history, both stories that came out of our research, but also other research projects that people wrote about within the context of this book. In addition, there were also translations of primary texts that we found very important to be able to share, and recent interviews with some of the figures involved, including Andre Odenthal and Gordon Metz, who's not here with us. So I will end maybe here are just some images to entice you if you're interested in reading this book. Yeah, and who's in the room? Magda's in the room. So we owe this publication, the possibility of this publication, to Magda Lipska and the whole team at the museum in Warsaw. We were very lucky. There was, you know, engagement and interest in our project, and this form of working on this publication with them was such a delight, and we're very grateful to have been able to go on this journey with the team there. And so Magda's here, so she will have a lot of questions, I think, for our contributors. And I'll end with sort of the coincidences and accidents that continue within our project. Even within editing the book, this came up. So a contributor, Tony Maraini, an art critic who lived in the Arab world for many years and is now based in Italy, in the process of translating one of her texts for the book, in fact said that she'd found the text that she'd written that was never published for the exhibition in Beirut in 1978. And so at the very last minute, thankfully, Magda and Kasia and the team and Megan were all willing to take on sort of bringing this text in, which was, again, sort of just, I think, calling for a lot of these histories. I think when you work 10 years on something, eventually they will come to you. So I'll end with that and pass over to Russia. Thanks.
So we agreed on how we would present this, but we have not read our text to each other, and she ends with accidents, and I end with accidents, so we're clearly still attached to each other, like Siamese twins or something, I don't know. I also want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank the team at HKV. I'm here so often, it feels like a home to me. I want to thank Anselm, Paz, Anke, Anna, Agnes, Dunia, everybody who's been so wonderful to work with. André, Catherine, and Paula. André and Catherine have been extremely patient with us. Every 9 months over 5 years, they would receive an email with an odd question. And if they did not reply immediately, they would receive another email and a third email. And without their kindness and patience, I think the project would be a lot less rich. Kanonfragen, or interrogating or questioning the canon, could not have been a more suitable fit for framing past disquiet. Our research looked into documents and histories that were lost, blinded, or discarded in the canons of the historiography of art. This very recent history of the production of art and of exhibitions lies not only outside the interests of academia or at its extreme margins, but mostly outside the market. Although a vast number of artists who were major protagonists in the histories we uncovered are included in the canon, but somehow their involvement in these histories is not. The fact that we were dealing with histories that have scant, dispersed, or destroyed archival traces, few of which still exist in institutions, and the fact that we were dealing with a wounded past, a militant production of art attached to struggles of liberation conducted in the framework of exile, implied that we had to rely a great deal on oral testimonies. A number of which could not be fact-checked. This had considerable bearing on how we were writing our own narrative. Furthermore, we were interviewing artists and militants. The light is odd. We were interviewing artists and militants in the moment of the aftermath, after the Pinochet dictatorship was defeated, after apartheid was revoked, after the PLO had created the Palestinian National Authority. This aftermath had its own set of problematics, of unresolved internal conflicts and scars that had not healed. And we were asking our interlocutors to hearken back to historical moments when hope, aspirations, and ambitions were still vibrant. Those who found themselves marginalized in the aftermath found an opportunity to rewrite themselves in the narratives we were ambitioning to write. In the end, our own exhibition, Past is Quiet, became an oral history of exhibitions, images, and of the production of art. The raw material that we collected consisted of interviews, documents, images, and moving image footage. The images, photographs, posters, artworks, and documents had survived, but the political, discursive, and ideological framework in which they had been produced had lapsed. Thus, it was important to look at the images historically, but it was also important to acknowledge that we were looking at them in our own here and now, and thus give space to criticality. Historicizing images and documents implied exploring their production as well as their dissemination. And this is how the network of international solidarity began to emerge and draw cartographies that challenge the canons of center and periphery. We were looking at national struggles that were enmeshed organically in transnational networks of solidarity. National struggles that were averse to the obtuse chauvinism of nationalism, that positioned themselves and were perceived by others as resonant in the struggle against imperialism. The museums and exiles provide rarely considered histories of existing collections that are today worth millions, and that so-called masterpieces, and that then that include so-called masterpieces of art, but mostly they incarnate museums or collections that are neither the result of fortunes created from exploitation of people and resources, nor a display of state power. They are, in fact, an entirely opposite model for museology that in today's terms would be museums built by political exiles and refugees. Mainstream historians of art, as well as the market, have dedicated a specific place for political art or art at the service of political struggle. The first phase of the Bolshevik Revolution, for example, or May 68. However, art produced as engagement in other struggles is generally denigrated. In fact, as the 50th anniversary of May 68 last year demonstrated widely, the revolution produced by May 68 in the world of art is supposed to have ended within that month, while in reality, its impact endured for a decade, as the study of Jeune Peinture movement shows, and Catherine Dossin's work in that regard argues beautifully. We are dealing with a chapter in our modern history where militants could not imagine conducting their struggle without artists, and artists were fully engaged in political struggles. Artists displaced art from its conventional sites and relocated it to the heart of social life. The lot of images and photographs that we collected compelled us to trace another level of their dissemination. These are just examples of, this is a mural being made by Chilean exiled artists and other artists during Documenta in Kassel. And this is one of our favorite images, is the snapshots of the touring exhibition, the tour of the Art Against Apartheid collection in Japan that lasted 2 years and went to some 196 prefectures or towns in Japan. They traveled in a truck. The The lot of images and photographs that we collected compelled us to trace another level of their dissemination. Paintings, drawings, and lithographs became posters, book covers, postcards, as well as murals. In other words, there is an iconographic archive and narrative to our modern political struggles composed of images, artworks, exhibitions, collections, and practices. And reversely, collective memory, as well as political subjectivity, are composed of images as much as they are composed of stories, keywords, and ideological paradigms. Indeed, images outlive their authors, their stories of genesis, and the ideological context in which they emerge. But what happens when their stories are forever lost? So these are paintings by Claude Lazard that were shown in small piazzas in towns in Tuscany. This is Montevarchi. And this is the painting today in the collection of the museum in solidarity with Salvador Allende. This is just part of the lot of images that we uncovered that were circulating. So I began with this image and I end with this image, which at the time when it was taken was simply a snapshot from the opening of the exhibition in the International Exhibition of Art in Solidarity with Palestine in Beirut in 1978. It shows the reflection of Azzedine Qalaq, who at the time was the PLO representative in Paris. And he was a major protagonist in the making of that collection and exhibition. But his role is something that we discovered from interviews. It's totally absent from documents. The photograph shows his reflection into a work by Jacques Monory, a well-known French artist, who used a mirror to make this painting of a hand holding a gun. And it's part of a series that he made on the propagation of violence in television series. Qalaq was killed a few months after the exhibition opening. When it was taken, this photograph documented the event of the opening. When we found it, we saw the image of an event to come. Accident. Coincidence. Thank you. Okay. So we begin with Catherine Dossin. I prefer not to reread the biographies that we've published in the little booklet that you received standing outside. I'm extremely delighted to invite Catherine. Catherine has been not only a support for our research, but she's been an inspiring art historian through her work, through her scholarship, but also her involvement with Artlas, which is a fantastic publication that dares to discuss and propagate and represent the transnational networks and the transnational perspectives of modern art history. Thank you for being here, Catherine, and welcome. Should I take this? I'll take all.